only in the 19th century and in the 20th century. He writes here that he himself heard Yossele Rosenblatt when Rosenblatt was 18 years old and was the chazan in the main shul in Presburg. And Rosenblatt would go to the mikveh before davening musaf. Right, so he writes that he still remembers how that his payas were wet from the mikveh when he came to sing, and the whole yeshiva would come to hear, and he said there would be fights every week because the yeshiva guys would take the seats of the balabatim. Right, and the balabatim would try and throw him out. I don't have to describe it for you. You can fill it in yourself already. But he writes that every week it went on. But that's again in the yeshivas in Eastern Europe, going to hear a chazan or going to daven in a shul. You're davening musaf with the balabatim. That was not the yeshivas in Europe, in Eastern Europe, and Lithuania were much more elitist in tone, and they had less to do with anyone else outside the yeshivas. Whereas the yeshiva in Presburg and most of the yeshivas in the Austro-Hungarian Empire did not operate that way. The Chassam Sofer made a war for the kehilos. He attempted in every Jewish community in the Austro-Hungarian Empire to insert one of his Talmidim, friend. It was followed later by his son, Rabbi Yoman Sofer, the Shevet Sofer, Ksav Sofer, and by his grandson, the Shevet Sofer. They literally fought for every position. The Austro-Hungarian Empire was divided into two sections, Oberland and Unterland. Oberland was the high place, it's basically Czechoslovakia today, and Unterland is basically Transylvania, Romania, and Hungary. And later on, the Chassidim would take over in Unterland, but the Ober, in effect, it's called today the Oberlanders, the Presburger, the Wiener, they're all called Oberlanders. And in the Oberland, in that part of Europe, in that part of Middle Europe, almost every Jewish community had as a rabbi a Talmud of Presburg, a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. And the Chassam Sofer told all of his Talmidim that when you come to a town, the first thing to do is make a yeshiva. And they all imitated their rebbe, so that every little town in the area had yeshivas. And the top students from those yeshivas were the ones that were sent to Presburg. That was the minor and major league setup, the feeder setup. But they all had yeshivas, and contrary to the way it was in Eastern Europe, where, as I mentioned to you last week, formal Jewish education usually ended at the age of 12 and 13, and then people went to work. Here, even in the smaller communities, it continued to 16, 17, even 18 before they left the yeshiva. So that made a great difference. Since the Chassam Sofer himself was German, and since Austria is basically German, the German influence and the German type of life existed there. They were neat, they were orderly, they were clean. None of the things which existed in Eastern Europe, because Eastern Europe reflected the Polish and Russian chaos, the inefficiency. A great deal of it is cultural. And German precision, German time, all of those things, you see today, Talmidim of Presburg, you can tell them by their dress, by their neatness, by their appearance, by their style, by their courtesy, by their elegance. It's a different brand. And that also weakened Reform, because the Reform couldn't point and say, look how dirty the Orthodox shul is. Or, look at a guy who goes dressed in rags and tatters, or he hasn't taken a bath in a week, or all of the other things that could and were said in Eastern Europe and were true. But they were true in Eastern Europe not because of Judaism. They were true in Eastern Europe because that's the way Poland looked, and that's the way it looks today. I don't know, again, if we're accustomed to think that way, but I was 11 years ago, I was in Ireland for a week on a kosher matter for the OU, etc. A company there was making milk powder for Eretz Yisrael, a whole complicated story. And this factory